to grind. He'll sign anything, so the choice is yours. If you're not on board, the cell splits apart. But only through your insubordination and betrayal. In that case, we're all free from one another from this moment. But don't forget, besides the unpleasant consequences of Shartov's betrayal, which you will have brought upon yourselves, you were warned when the cell was formed about the repercussions of breaking apart. As for myself, I'm not afraid of you, gentlemen. Don't think for a moment that I am involved in the same way as you are. But that's not important.
I am against it. With all of my heart and soul, I protest against such a bloodthirsty decision.
But what? You said but. And I'm waiting.
I don't think I did say but. I only meant to say that if you decide to do it, then...
Then?
Pajinski didn't answer at first. And then he suddenly said...
I am for the cause.
Everyone got up. We believed that Shatov was going to betray us. But we also believed that Peter was using us. Nevertheless, we knew we would all meet at the agreed place next day and that Shatov was a dead man. We suddenly felt like insects caught in a web by a huge spider. We were angry, but also afraid. As for Shatov, it is widely known that Peter hated him personally. They'd quarreled at some point, and Peter never forgave a personal offense. I am convinced that this was his primary motive. I myself long hated Peter. If I could somehow have murdered Peter before the arrangement in the park without ruining myself in the process, I certainly would have.
Listen, that's the signal that Shartov is approaching. Return the signal. No one will betray us now, even you, Liput.
What about you?
Don't worry about that. The minute you try to turn traitors, I'll have you all taken care of, but you won't.
Well, where's the shovel? It's dark here. Don't you have more than one lantern? This is the place where the printing press is hidden. Look, this spot here.
At that moment, Tolkachenko rushed out and jumped him from behind, while Urkel seized his arms. I attacked him from the front. The three of us wrestled him to the ground and pinned him.
At this point, Peter dashed up with his revolver.
Shartov just had time to turn his head and recognize him.
Three lanterns lit the scene. Shartov suddenly uttered a short and desperate scream.
But they didn't let him carry on screaming. Peter firmly and accurately pressed his revolver against Shartov's temple and pulled the trigger.
Death was almost instantaneous.
Well, what the hell are you gawping at? Let's get going.
Tolkachenko and Urkel instantly brought two large stones from the grotto, placed there by them the night before. The plan was to toss the body in the closest of the three ponds. They tied the stones to Shatov's head and feet, respectively. Tolkachenko and Peter lifted the body by the head, while Bajinski and I grabbed the feet, and we hurriedly carried it towards the pond. This was done in silence, and it was only when we reached the pond that Bajinski, exhausted and struggling under his burden, cried out,
"Not the right thing! No! No!
It's not right at all!"
We put down the lanterns, swung the corpse, and threw it into the pond. The body sank at once. It was over.
My news report about Shatov's murder and the events leading up to it appeared in our province's newspaper. It even made the Petersburg and Moscow newspapers. In one final postscript report, I described the sad culmination of the events which shook our town. Kirillov followed through on his promise to the Central Committee and left the following note, apparently absolving Peter and the quintet of all suspicion. "I, Kirillov, declare that today, the 19th of October, at about 8 o'clock in the evening, I killed Shatov in the park for turning traitor and giving information about the manifestos. I am shooting myself today